Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, January the 24th, 24th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, I can say old buddy, and some others might say an old buddy,
yeah.
But Niall Henderson is alongside this afternoon. We're going to be spending a little bit of time talking about what I would bet, Niall, a fair amount of the general community has heard of Project Share Life somehow. Not remember it,
yeah,
but have been exposed to it sometime since you got the ball rolling.
Exactly. It's been 15 years now. The 1st of January was 15 years since we started, and we've pounded it pretty hard, so I'm sure they've heard of it.
Well, and you don't look that old, so. So when we come back, we'll talk about Project Share Life, what it is, what it's become, and some of the different opportunities that are out there that you might be a little surprised about. So we'll do that when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Niall Henderson. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Dr. Benjamin Spock. I bet you remember him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. This one has nothing to do with perpetuating babies or anything like that. No. Trust yourself. You know more than you think you do.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting,
kinda cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, don't knock down intuition just because.
Okay.
What for those, Niall, who may have moved into the area, who may not have been sensitive to the message the last couple of times they've heard it, what is, in a real basic capsule, what is Project Share Life?
It is an effort that's spearheaded by Rotary to increase the numbers and the ethnic diversity on the National Marrow Donor Program by going out and recruiting potential donors and having their DNA put on the National Marrow Donor Registry database. And they're on there until they're 60 years old, and it's like 15 minutes out of your entire life. You go on one time, and if anyone in need, and they're searching for a match, and you happen to be that magic match, and they will contact you and go from there.
What role does Rotary have in this?
Well, I'll tell you what. We were, I'll go back to the late 80s and around 1990.
Oh, when I had hair and yours was a different color. Yeah, okay.
And mine was still brown. my boy had cancer, and we were at Stanford, and he was going through his second bone marrow transplant. And in talking to the doctors, I became aware of how short the registry was of people. At that time, there was only 1 million people on the registry. 1 million in the entire United States. And also at that time, you only had a 1 in 5 chance of finding a match if you didn't have a sibling or a twin. Of course, a twin is a perfect match, but and there's no guarantee a sibling is a match. You know, it's only about 50% of the time that that a brother or sister would be a perfect match. So those odds, 1 in 5, just really graveled me, so to speak. I just thought, that's so unacceptable. And I came home, and at that time, Larry Cavanaugh, I think you remember Larry.
Right.
He was our district governor.
And he had nothing to do...
Nothing to do with this.
Right.
But he was handy, and I sat him down, and we talked, and our club president, and they decided to get behind this, not only as a club project with our club, but as a district project. By the way, our district, for the folks that don't realize it, runs from Petaluma clear to Crescent City, so it's a pretty long stretch of highway there.
Not as long as the congressional district is going to be.
No, that's true. So anyway, that's how it got started. Project Share Life was a saying or a term or something with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society that I had stumbled on. And I got a hold of them and asked them if they cared if Rotary used that name, and they said, no, but be our guest. So that's how that happened, Rotary Project Share Life.
What was the initial reaction? I certainly being an active member in a club and having one of your kids, I'm sure there was a lot of the initial gasp and outpouring. But after that first wave and things kind of started settling, was there a lot of partnering with Rotary clubs in the district or Rotarians throughout the country going, this makes sense, or is it taking a little while to get that ball rolling?
Well, it takes a while, and you have to keep it rolling. But I can tell you that right away, District 5170 to our south, which is down in the Mountain View, San Jose, down through Gilroy in that area, they jumped on the bandwagon real quick because they had a member from their area that was looking for a match. And so they've been a good partner for us, yeah. And he found one, incidentally, and he's doing fine. But anyway, it's a constant drive to educate. And it is an education because it's something, when you think about a bone marrow, you're thinking about something that's probably very invasive in the body and whatnot, and it's really very simple.
Pain. It's probably the number one thing most people
ask, does it hurt?
Yeah.
And
or how much does it hurt, probably.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about some of those misnomers down a bit. With the advances now that science has made, even in the short 15-year window that you've talked, what has that meant for either bone marrow donations or Project Share Life? Has it accelerated things?
You know, Brian, yes, a lot. When we first started this, we had to have a phlebotomist on site. We had to draw blood. That's how you were tested. Now it's simply a mouth swab with cotton swabs, and I'm qualified to do that. So you can tell how simple that has to be. The donation process was a needle and a syringe in the hip bone, and that's where they gathered the marrow. Now about 75-80% of the time it's through an apheresis process where they take it out of one arm and it harvests the baby blood cells and put the balance back in your other arm. So it's really come a long way.
Kind of go like to the blood bank?
Type of
scenario?
Exactly, yeah.
How have the numbers nationally developed? You said initially when Steve was in the situation,
mm-hmm.
it was a million. Okay, the country's grown a little bit. Have you seen similar growth, or is this registry gone significantly larger?
Oh, yeah, significantly. There's a little over 9 million people on the registry now, and there was a million 15 years ago. Those are big numbers. And it's because of efforts, Brian, of Rotaries and other groups and, the National Marrow Donor Program and Be the Match, and there's hundreds of groups that are trying to improve on these numbers.
Has anybody gotten the traction, not to toot your own horn, but has anybody else gotten the traction that you guys have through Rotary with this as far as mainstreaming the message?
I'm not sure I follow your question.
Are you the guy behind it going from 1 to 9?
Well, I have been, but are you volunteering to be a helper? No, I'll tell you what. I have talked to Washington, D.C. I've talked to Chicago, obviously. I've talked to Texas. Someone from RI called me up one time and said, what is going on out there? And that was kind of cool. You know, he was an RI director. And he'd heard about our project, and I did, as you know, I was one of the keynote speakers at Reno, Nevada last May for the district conference, and one of the RI representatives there was the first person to come and talk to me afterwards, and he says, you need to get to RI International with this message. So evidently they're ready for it again, so maybe I'll be traveling here pretty quick.
KINS, News and Information Times 424. We'll be back with more from Niall Henderson.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 4:27. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Niall Anderson. Niall, Project Share Life, you touched on the fact that Rotary is international, or at least for me, because I know what RI means, Rotary International. Is there international support for the registry as much as there is? Or is this more of an American phenomenon at this point, and you see the rest of these countries really is untapped territory?
Well, I wouldn't say they're untapped, but they haven't been tapped near as hard as they could be. For instance, India. India has 10,000 people on their registry. And, of course, there's a European registry that they all participate in, too. And then they also have access to our registry if they have, and ours to us to theirs too. So, but it's a terrible problem in a lot of countries. And
I know a little bit of some of the stuff that Tom Shallard has dealt with internationally with blood, and some of the cultural challenges, some of the financial challenges. I mean, and just certain governmental structures that just don't seem to click in the past. Do you run into some of those as issues, or do you foresee that those are going to be issues as this really starts to get into the international community on a more regular basis?
Well, I think it's getting better. There were cultural issues even here locally with our American Indian population, and they have they've kind of changed a lot. In fact, we did a drive one time for a young lady who was an American Indian. And so I think other countries are going to follow suit. I understand the religion behind it and the beliefs and what we're taught, but this is a life-saving procedure.
Well, and I would imagine you could pick a religion, whatever one. Mm-hmm. If everybody else was playing along, your list are probably going to be so extensive that one religious belief may not be necessary in order to accomplish it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it, Brian, is it's so misunderstood. Basically, what a bone marrow transplant is, bone marrow is nothing more than your baby blood cell factory, and that's in the cavities of your bone. And that's why the hip bone is the best place to harvest it, because it's the biggest bone.
The biggest, yeah.
And all a bone marrow transplant consists of is totally eradicating your existing marrow because it's diseased or there's a problem. And they do that with chemotherapy and radiation. And when that's completely eradicated, they simply infuse a donor's baby blood cells in your, just like a blood transfusion. It's a bag hanging on a pole into your bloodstream. In 7 to 12 days, those baby blood cells find their way to the cavities of your bones, set up housekeeping, and start multiplying, and that's a successful transplant.
Kind of sounds a little science fiction, but it sounds really basic biology, too. KINS, news and information time. It's 4:31. We'll be back with more from Niall Henderson.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a lampist to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Niall Henderson. Niall's got a big old title, but basically he's the guy behind Project Share Life. How's that?
That's great.
Sum that one, yeah. One up. If Rotary's involved, Niall, with getting folks to donate with their marrow, or at least to get typed, any thoughts to getting into other service organizations and other, I guess, just other organizations throughout the world and kind of have a multi-pronged push on this?
Oh, I think there probably are other organizations doing it. It's hard for me to know what's going on back east or down south, but and my connections are in Rotary. And I've been in Rotary 25 years. I know you've been a long-time Rotarian, too. And you know the reputation of Rotary, too. When you mention Rotary, a lot of barriers go down. You just show your pin instantly,
right.
There's trust.
God, I would start wearing the pin again. Yeah. Huh?
So, I think that as these numbers get better. Now, I mentioned earlier that there's now 9 million people on those odds that were 1 in 5 are now 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5 chance that you'll find a match.
So you need maybe another 4 or 5 million, and then it's an automatic?
Well, yeah.
Except for the really unique situation.
Exactly. So at some point in time, we hope we can reach a plateau where we can relax a little bit here.
Or tread water, perhaps.
Or tread water,
Is bone marrow, I guess receiving bone marrow, is it technically an organ transplant?
You know,
More of a blood infusion.
It's more of a blood-related transplant. But I'll tell you how.
So rejecting isn't much of an issue if
you're tight. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. Here's an issue with the bone marrow. With an organ, if I donated a kidney to you, the big fear would be whether your body would accept my kidney. Well, with bone marrow, it goes both ways. Will my body accept your bone marrow, and will your bone marrow be happy in my body? And that's called GVH, or graft versus host. And that is the biggest problem with a successful transplant. In other words, only about 70% of the transplants are successful. And
even with
even with a perfect match sometimes. And probably 80% of those that fail, it's because of GVH.
So in that scenario, Niall, do they go out and find another perfect match and put them in and hope that it's one of the 7 out of 10 that doesn't have that as an issue?
Probably in that situation, you wouldn't survive.
Okay, yeah. Because it attacks itself.
It attacks your gut. It attacks your skin. It attacks your organs, and it's just saying, "I'm not happy here. This isn't working out." You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Even though the transplant is working, and the blood, they're not happy there. And they suppress the immune system. They do all kinds of things to get everybody calmed down while they're getting acquainted. You know, after the transplant.
So it's not a shock.
It's not a shock. And then they slowly take you off the prednisone and those things and hope that things are in order. 70, 75% of the time they are, but it's not a sure thing.
So even if you had full registry matches, 100%, that still doesn't mean that there's still not room for improvement on the diagnostic side to continue the research.
Oh, they've improved since my son had his transplants. They've improved on this problem with graft versus host immensely, They used to be in the hospital 60 days, and now you're in the hospital 30 days or maybe even less. So
it is bone marrow transfers, I guess would be the phrase, something that the insurance companies, do they stand behind?
They do now. It was really looked at very closely 15 years ago. They were wondering if that was an acceptable procedure, but they do now. And it's expensive.
As contrasted to death.
Yeah. Just to tell you how technical this is, if I donated bone marrow to you and you were type A and I was type O, after I donated my baby blood cells, you would take on my blood type.
Oh, really? I change?
Yeah, you would change.
Do my eye colors change, too?
No, but I'll tell you what, sometimes allergies would follow.
Okay, well, I'd certainly want to start driving buses.
Yeah, you would.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but... Yeah, it's...
But in any of the blood-borne... Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. My boy used to make a joke that, you know, my daughter was his donor, and she's a Democrat, and he was a Republican, and he always made a joke that it changed his political affiliation.
So as you're looking at some of the challenges that bone marrow, the industry has, is it lack of understanding what bone marrow is? What some of the choices and the challenges are, just the normal hesitation people have about, even on the driver's license, the owner, the organ donor.
Yeah.
Are those now starting to become some of the bigger challenges rather than the lack of knowledge?
Yeah, education is huge. And I'll tell you what we're targeting right now is the colleges. And we didn't realize this when we first started our effort 15 years ago, but... For instance, we've got a drive at College of the Redwoods in the first week of March, a four-day drive, 4 hours a day. The students there are young, they're healthy, the ethnic diversity is there. Speaking of ethnic diversity, seldom will you find a match. For instance, a Caucasian will seldom find a match in a Hispanic population or an African-American. Or American Indian, it's usually race to race. So, if you're in, and especially if you're in a multi-race,
I would think that could kind of make it challenging.
It really makes it difficult, and
but not insurmountable.
No,
just more challenging.
It's just more challenging. Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:42. We'll be back with more from Niall Henderson.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 4:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Niall Henderson from Project Share Life. Niall, if people are looking to get involved, you mentioned that there's an outreach or an opportunity at CR in a couple of months. Is this something that's an online thing? Do they have to give you a call? Can they do it at their doctor's office? If they want to go to the next step?
They can go online and go bethematch.com, and they can have a kit sent to them with explanation of how to do it. If you've got a small group, you know, 6, 7, 8 people at your place of business, and you want to do this, I'll come by and take care of it. Or you can go to the blood bank, or you can catch any of the blood mobiles. They've all got the kits on them.
So it's really
pretty easy,
simple to, yeah.
And there's no charge because Rotary and our backers pick this charge up. So
as you're looking at, let's say if you go to RIs or Rotary Internationals,
yeah.
Obviously, we'd have to hold you in a little higher respect, but yeah, it's not going to cut. be too difficult because, you know, there's so much more respect we could be giving you. But if it becomes something like that, what is your wildest dream with this thing? What would be unthinkable 15 years ago, a dream today that might come to fruition, let's say, in another 10 years?
Well, you know, Rotary is worldwide now. And just this year, I tried to, excuse me, penetrate into the India area because the president of Rotary is from India this year. And I had some contacts at Stanford who were going over there. And I tried to hook them up with some Rotarians, and it didn't quite smooth out like I wanted it to. But we're not going to give up on it. We're going to keep pushing. Once we get one working, then we've got a little model that we can work with.
China? Is that, I mean, I'm thinking of large population centers. China certainly would be one.
Oh, boy.
Also.
Yeah.
Is there any concern there? Is Rotary in China?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I believe they are. Yeah.
So there's still a lot of these huge population centers that could be.
And we'll have to work that through Rotary International. I mean, they've got the feelers and the contacts, and they can make things happen where we can think about it forever.
Have you tried much of the international other than India?
No.
I'm wondering what the government's reaction, Canada, if the Canadian government, because of the different healthcare systems, if that would be an issue or a non-factor at all?
I don't think it would be. I don't think it'd be an issue. I know in England, we've done a lot of sharing of not only information but support, and they have their registry there, and we've had a lot of people from England donate over here. And incidentally, that can be done, and they never have to leave their country. They would have a patient. They have to get them down to the exact spot when they destroy their blood cell factory that I mentioned earlier, and they've totally eradicated it. It's gone. Then they have to be ready to infuse that new baby blood cells into the body immediately. So they got a 24-hour period. So if you or I were going to be a donor, we would be set up, and it would all be programmed out, and we would be in San Francisco or Sacramento or at a major hospital on a particular morning, and there'd be a courier waiting, if that was going out of the country, waiting there to get on an airplane and to fly, and the next morning it would be infused in the patient's body.
So it really is that, has to be that timed, that coordinated to make it all happen.
Now, we've had a situation here just in the last 2 weeks in Fortuna where a young man from Fortuna needed a transplant, and he's down in Santa Rosa, and his donor was from England. That's what brought that to mind.
And everything timed out perfectly?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. The fog at SFO didn't get him?
No.
And again, if people are interested, they go to bethematch.com?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it on your guys' website for Rotary?
Yes, it is, yeah.
So you do a search for Southwest Rotary of Eureka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rotary Club of Southwest.
Yeah. You know, that would be the old man club. Thanks for coming by, Niall.
Thanks for having me.
We've been Talking Shop with Niall Henderson. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and we'll see you tomorrow.